Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. And Paul says here, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Let's pray as we come to think about that part of God's word. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that it is such a help to us. May it be so to our souls this morning through Jesus Christ. Amen. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had a new baby boy born to one of the families in our church, didn't we? And little Calvin was born to Michael and Kat. And that's a great joy, isn't it? We take great joy when new life is born into this world. God has been enormously gracious in giving them this new little gift, this gift of life in this child. And yet, while we take great joy in seeing the gift of this child, one of the things that we're also going to take joy in, too, over the coming weeks and months and years, is in seeing this little child grow. This little child, Calvin, is not always going to remain little. As he grows, maybe he gets chubby, and then gradually he learns to walk and ride bikes and read and beat his dad at computer games and all of that kind of thing. As he grows physically and mentally and socially and so on, it's something that we're going to take great joy in, especially when he beats his dad at things. We take great joy as a child comes into this world, and we take great joy as that child grows too. And in a similar way, spiritually, we likewise in the church, we take great joy both in people receiving new life in Christ when they become a Christian, and we also take great joy in them growing in Christ. We want to see people growing in Christ. And we want each one of us as Christians, if we're believers here, we each one of us want to be growing in Christ. We've been working together, as you may know, over the last few weeks through a series entitled The Blueprint, What We're About as a Church. And in this, the fifth out of six sermons, what we want to talk about is growing. And here, as we look at the subject of growing, I want us to focus in particularly on that passage that we just read, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through to 16. Ephesians 4, 7 through to 16. And I want us to think about what it has to say there. This section here in the book of Ephesians, it's about growing. It's about the church, the body of Christ being built up. Okay, in verses 7 through to 11, we learn that Christ has given his people gifts. And in verse 12, we're told why he's given his people the gifts. We're told that it is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. See, God wants his church to grow. Now, that certainly includes a church growing by people becoming Christians, but also he wants the Christians themselves to grow in Christ. Look again to our passage down in verse 15. It says that as we speak the truth in love, we grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. God wants us to grow up into Christ. You get it again in verse 16. It says there that from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so the passage is about growth. Now, it has implications for our growth as individual Christians, of course, but there's also a wider lens here. It's talking about our growth as a body, our growth as a church, because that really is a key ingredient in our growth. We grow within the context of a body of believers. And so it's about our growth as a church, as a body, and it's a really great place to turn. And so let me make five comments here about growing. Firstly, we grow by the gifts of Christ. We see this there in verses 7 through to 10. Okay, as I say, the whole section here, it's about growth, God growing his church. And the place that it begins with is the gift of Christ. Christ gives his people gifts to enable the church to grow. Let's read from verse 7 together, verses 7 through to 10. It says there, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things." So what you have here, okay, what you have here is a description of Christ as the glorious, victorious king giving gifts to his people. All right, in verse 8, Paul there quotes Psalm 68, and the image there is of God as king returning from battle, having defeated his enemies. And having ascended Mount Zion with his captives in wake, he gets together all of the spoils of his victory and he shares out the spoil with his people. He gives gifts to men. And what you have there in that picture is a beautiful picture of what God has done for us in Christ. In Christ, God has led his people in victory over sin and death. He has defeated sin at the cross. And having done so, Jesus then ascends to his throne in heaven. And what we're told over in Acts chapter 2 and other places is that having ascended into heaven, the Lord Jesus receives this great reward for his victory. He receives the Holy Spirit in abundant measure. And so Christ, as the generous, gracious King that he is, he chooses to share with his people the spoils of his victory. He chooses to distribute the Spirit to his people. He gives gifts to men. See, we are given gifts from the ascended Lord Jesus Christ so that we might grow in him. This is the generosity of our Lord. Our Lord not only defeats sin for us and puts death to death, but he, having given us new life in him by his great generosity, gives us gifts. And these gifts, we are assured in verse 7, are not just for the elite few, but these gifts are for all of God's people. Look at verse 7. We are told there, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Christ has given each one of us, every single one of us who are in him, Christ has given each one of us gifts for the building up of his church. See, he wants us to grow. He wants his body to be built up. And so he's given his body gifts to bring that about. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Okay, you know, it's easy within church life, within the church, to feel like maybe only a select few are gifted. We sometimes use that sort of language, don't we? We might talk about so-and-so being gifted. And at one level, that's fine. It's fine as long as by that, what we don't mean is that so-and-so is gifted, but the rest of us are not. Because within the body of Christ, what we are taught is that all have been given gifts. Each one is given gifts for the building up of the body. All have something to contribute to the life of the church. Is that the way that you think of your role within the life of the church? Is that the way that you think about others in the church, that each one of them has something to contribute? Everyone plays a part in the building up of the body. I think of Paul, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, how he talks about the eyes and the ears and the fingers and so on, and he says that every member of the body has a role to play in the body, and it's like that, he says, with our growth together in the church. Everyone has a role to play. And so we grow by the gifts of Christ. And then secondly, what we want to talk about here is the fact that we grow into Christ. Okay, what does it look like for us to grow as a church? And what does it look like for us to grow as individuals? Well, what it looks like is for us to become more like Christ. Okay, let me read from verse 11. It says there, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." In other words, for the building up, the growing of the body of Christ. And then it goes on and it says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." See, what does it look like for the body to be built up? What does it look like for us to be growing? Well, what we're told that it looks like for us to be growing is for us to be growing more and more in likeness to Christ. Okay, notice there that it says that we're aiming to become a perfect man. We're aiming to measuring up to the fullness of Christ. Now that word there, perfect, it means complete, or it means mature or full grown. And what it's saying is that as we grow, we're all aiming at becoming full grown Christians. Just as a child looks forward to growing up, so every Christian looks forward to growing up and becoming full grown. And the example for us of the full grown or the mature man is Christ. We want to measure up to the full grownness and the maturity of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're aiming at being like Christ. Now, the same point is made there again down in verse 15. Okay, verse 15, it says that we are to grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Okay, the picture there is a little bit unusual, but the idea is that as we grow, we're growing toward our head, Christ. Our goal in growth is the Lord Jesus Christ. We aim at measuring up to the fullness of what he is like. Now, obviously, none of us actually get there in this life. But God is helping us little by little to make progress toward that. And it's important, if we are to make progress, to continue to keep Christ in view. Okay, we don't want to subtly shift our goal so that as Christians, our real goal is simply to be more holy than our Christian neighbour, or as holy as one of the leaders in the church. Or worse, we don't want to imagine that somehow we've arrived because apparently we haven't fallen in ways that our neighbour may have fallen. No, if we are to grow in holiness, we need to make sure that we have Christ in view. If we aim at anything less than Christ, our growth is going to be stunted. We need to know Christ and seek to be like him. And so we seek to love the Word as Christ loved the Word. We seek to be a people of truth and a people of prayer. We seek to care for the purity of our hearts as he taught us to care for the purity of our hearts. We seek to be compassionate toward the lost, to be gentle toward the weak, to love our enemies, to love God's law, to exercise humility, to serve others. We aim to measure up to the maturity of Christ. Now, we accept that we will never fully measure up to Christ in this life. In fact, we're not even going to come close. And so that being the case, we will look as much to the cross as we will to his example. If we look mainly toward Christ's example and little toward the cross, we will become discouraged because we will not get there in this life. And so we need to remind ourselves that we are saved not by our own righteousness, but by his righteousness, and that he has atoned for our sin, and that his blood is sufficient to cleanse us from our sins, from our failings. We must not lose sight of Christ at the cross. And yet, nevertheless, when it comes to what we aim for, when it comes to the purity of our character, we must be aiming for nothing less than Christ. We as a people will only grow as we grow into Christ. We grow into Christ. And thirdly, what I want to say here is that we grow through speaking the truth in love. Okay, continue reading with me from verse 14. Verse 13 has said there that we're aiming at becoming like Christ, and then in verse 14, Paul goes on and he says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Okay, notice there that verse 15 as well. It goes on and says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Now, notice there that it's through speaking the truth in love that we grow up into Christ. Truth is connected to growth. In fact, notice also back in verse 14 that there's a warning against remaining childlike in our understanding of doctrine or of Christian teaching. Okay, Paul in verse 14 is saying we want to move beyond childhood into adulthood. We don't want to remain children in our understanding of the Bible. And because if we remain children in our understanding of the Bible, when somebody comes along with some kind of new teaching that sounds right but actually isn't right, it's going to knock us off balance. And so he's saying that growth is connected with truth. It's as we have a mature understanding of the Bible, it's as we're speaking the truth in love that we're growing up in all things into him who is the head. Now, friends, I just want to highlight this. I just want to highlight this because today we live in a culture that it just doesn't particularly value truth, does it? We live in a culture where the basic orthodoxy is it just doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. In other words, truth, it's just not valued much. But what Paul says is, no, truth does matter. Truth is basic to your growth as a Christian. And so if you have this really shallow understanding of the truths of the Bible, your growth is going to be impoverished. And if you're not constantly applying the truth to your life, your growth is going to be impoverished also. Okay, the church needs to be a place where we're constantly speaking the truth in love with one another. It needs to be a place where we're constantly hearing the truth. Now, friends, can I clarify that this isn't always about learning something new? Okay, oftentimes in church environments, a message that we hear or something that we say informally to one another, it might actually be something that we've heard before. And that is okay. All right, Paul tells Timothy and Titus to remind people of these things. And on several occasions throughout the New Testament, Paul or Peter or Jude, they say, you know what, I'm saying these things by way of reminder. In fact, Luke in Acts chapter 17 warns that the Athenians were a people that were always seeking after something new. And that's not a good thing. So we're not saying here that we always have to be learning something new. Certainly over time, we will learn new things. But even where we don't learn something new, what we're saying is that we still need that. We need the reminders of God's truth. We need the reminders of the truth in Christ because we are a forgetful people. We're a people who are prone to forget the truth. And we don't always apply the truths of God's word very well. And so it's good to hear it again in a new circumstance. And so we need the truth if we're going to grow. It is through truth spoken in love that we grow. Growth is through the truth. Now, fourthly, let me say here that we grow through leaders. Okay, leaders, they will help us know the truth. And they're going to equip us to be able to share the truth with others. Now, let's head back to verse 11. Okay, as we said earlier, Paul, in verses 7 to 10, notes that God has given gifts to each one for the building up of the body. However, having emphasized gifts for each one, Paul, in verse 11, focuses in on a particular group of gifts within the church, and that's gifts of leadership. And so he says there in verse 11, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now what Paul here is saying is that God has given gifts of leadership to some people for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, in accordance with Paul's emphasis on the importance of truth in growing the body, all of the leadership examples that he gives here are leadership roles which are specially focusing on teaching. Okay, so he mentions apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. They're all teaching gifts. Now, that's not to say that other leadership roles aren't important. They are important. But he's particularly focusing in here on teaching roles. because ultimately, as he says later, it's through speaking the truth in love that we grow. And so again, we just want to highlight the importance of truth speaking. And in particular, what we want to highlight is the importance of leadership roles where we have opportunities to speak. One author comments here, "Nothing is more necessary for the building up of God's church in every age than an ample supply of God-gifted teachers. It is teaching which builds up the church." Another writer says something similar. He says, "It is not to say that there are not other gifts which do not particularly involve teaching, but it does mean that the teaching gifts are particularly needed if the church is to mature in the direction Paul describes." And so what I'm saying is that as a church, one thing that we should be seeking, especially to grow, is teaching gifts. I appreciate that these gifts are given by God, and yet Paul says elsewhere to Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you. There's a role that we can play in stirring up these gifts. Moreover, in the same book, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells Timothy to commit his teachings to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Also, he's saying, Timothy, you've got a role in making sure that you're developing other teachers. And so part of seeking to grow the body is also seeking to develop leadership gifts and particularly teaching gifts. Thankfully, we have plenty of opportunities to grow in our teaching of God's word, whether it's through leading youth group or Sunday school, or prayer meetings, men's events, women's events, preaching at Kalanga, one-to-one studies, leading in our families, whatever it might be, there's lots of opportunities for us to be developing leadership gifts and particularly teaching gifts. And I just want to say that's a really, really good thing. It's a good thing. And what we want to say here is that it's right that we should be seeking to train people up in these things, to mentor people in these things, and to grow in whatever, and also to grow in whatever leadership responsibilities that we already have. Because those teaching leadership gifts play a really important role in the growth of the body. We grow through leaders. Friends, can I ask you, are there ways in which you can be growing in your own teaching and leadership gifts? The body grows through leaders. And then finally, we grow as every part does its share. Now, this is really important. It's important because it's a big emphasis in this passage, okay? There is a mention of the role of the leadership, but the dominant emphasis in the passage is on the role of the whole church. That's the dominant emphasis in the passage. In fact, if you look at verses 11 and 12, you'll notice that the big role of these leaders is actually to do what? It's to equip the saints for ministry. Okay, look at verse 11. It says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, notice there what it says is the role of pastors and teachers. The role of pastors and teachers, it says, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's what their role is. Okay, the King James Version, it has a comma after the word saints, as if the role of pastors and teachers is one, to equip the saints, two, to do the work of ministry, and three, to edify the body of Christ. But I do think that the newer translations, which is basically across the board, the newer translations are right in removing the comma after the word saints. And so it reads that the role of pastors and teachers is to equip the saints for their work of ministry. And so the emphasis here isn't on pastors and teachers doing the ministry. No, the emphasis here is on pastors and teachers equipping the saints for their work of ministry. And that, I believe, is the best understanding of the passage. I think it makes best understanding of the Greek. You can read about it if you want to. And I think it fits into the context best as well. Okay, you'll notice down in verse 15 who it is that's meant to be speaking the truth in love. life? Who is it that is doing this teaching so that we all grow up into him who is the head? Well, in the context here, the person speaking isn't the pastor. In the context here, the person's people speaking is the whole church. Okay, check the context. Paul is talking about we. He begins verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith. And then verse 14, that we should no longer be children and so on. And so verse 15 is just following on from that. We are those that are speaking the truth in love. And that makes sense because it is as the whole body teaches one another that the church is built up. Read on from verse 15, Paul says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And then it goes on, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what? Every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body. See, as every part does its share, growth of the body. As we all speak the truth in love, we grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. It's as the whole body is involved in speaking the truth in love that the church is built up. It's only as the whole body feeds the other parts of the body through speaking the truth in love with one another that the church grows. And so as I say, it's not surprising that Paul, back in verse 12, says that one of the big roles of pastors and teachers is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Because it's only as every part does its share that the body grows. Let me just take you through two implications of that. Firstly, as a church, if we're going to be a growing people, we need to actively reject consumerism. Actively reject consumerism. Okay, it's only as every part is doing its share that we grow as a people. We need one another in order to grow. As Paul Tripp likes to say, sanctification is a community project. We need one another. And so as a church, if we're going to be a growing people, we must reject consumerism. Okay, it's really easy to come along to church thinking, I'm here for what I can get out of this. And you know, we can have that attitude to the music, we can have that attitude to the kids' programs, we can have that attitude to friendship circles and so on. And we need to watch our attitudes in all of those things. But the other area that we also need to watch our attitude to is in regard to the word. It's very easy for us to come to church thinking, I'm here for what I can get out of the word. The whole point of receiving teaching is in order to feed me. It's all about me. But actually, it's not, is it? Because the role of pastors and teachers is not simply to do the work of ministry. No, the role of pastors and teachers is to equip the saints for their work of ministry. In other words, as we receive in church and in any other context, the word of God, the purpose of that word is not that it should terminate on me. I'm not the end point of that word. No, the purpose of that word is that I should receive the word, be strengthened in the word in order to be able to minister it to others. That's the idea. Do you see how it's a different mindset? It's a different attitude. It's not consumeristic. Rather than the word being there in order to feed me, the word is there to equip me to serve others. And it's really important. In fact, I'm convinced that it's really important for the health of each one of us as Christians. Okay, Colin Marshall uses the example of a person who eats a lot but doesn't do much exercise. Okay, he says if you eat a lot, you don't do much exercise, you'll get fat. And he says, you're not going to be healthy. And he says, in a similar way, as Christians, we shouldn't just have a mindset that only focuses in on eating. Because if we're just feeding on the word, feeding on the word, feeding on the word, but not actually using the nourishment that comes from the word to informally help our brothers and sisters in the church, or doing a one-to-one Bible study with a non-Christian friend, or leading Sunday school or leading youth group or getting involved in Operation 513 or whatever it might be, if we're not actually exercising as Christians, then we'll be fat Christians. And we're not going to be healthy. See, the body grows as every part does its share. And so we avoid consumerism. And then the second implication that I want to mention here is that I'm really convinced that it's important for us as a church to just be working hard to equip people, to be working hard to equip people to be able to share the word of God with others. Now, that will be happening through preaching. It will be happening through Bible studies. But it's good also where there are explicit ways where we can seek to do this. Okay, things like our Just Start Talking course not so long ago. The whole goal there is to practically equip us for being able to better witness to our neighbours. Or things like, I know some of you did a preaching course a little while back, really worthwhile thing to do. I know others of you have done a parenting course a little while back, really helpful thing to do, equipping us to serve our children better. Or things like where we learn how to lead a Bible study or how to just do kids ministry well or where we run a leadership training group or whatever it is, it's important for us to be working hard at equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Because we grow as a church, as the whole body is seeking to speak the truth in love. And so it's good for us to be equipped in that. We grow as every part does its share. Okay, so one of the difficulties in our culture is the individualistic nature of our culture, is it not? Our culture is all about the individual. It's not about the whole. But what the Bible teaches is that in a church where we are connected to one another, we have responsibilities to one another. And so every part of the body has a role in the growth of the body. We grow as every part does its share. Can I just read again from verses 15 and 16 to close? Paul writes there that it is as we are speaking the truth in love that we grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.